Now, will you notice, as we move on down, we have another statement made here. 3, and that is in verse 3, too. Who being the brightness of his glory. Now, that is a very wonderful statement there. The brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Now, brightness here means the outshining. It means actually the effulgence here. And I think that the material sun out yonder in space gives us a good illustration of this. We could never know the glory of this material sun. To begin with, you can't look at it directly. It would blind you if you did. But from the rays of the sun, we get light, we get heat, and actually, I think, healing from it. And that's the way we know about the sun. Now, we'd never know anything about God apart from the revelation that God's given in His Son. You see, He is the brightness. We'd never see God. I've never seen Him. I'm sure you haven't. But I know about Him now through Jesus Christ. Just as the rays of the sun with their warmth and light tell me about the physical sun, the Lord Jesus reveals God to us today. Now, when He uses this other expression here, the express image of His person. Now, that word, express image, actually means steel engraving. The word is charakter, and we get our word character from that. So that we say today that the Lord Jesus Christ is the revelation of God because He is God. And that is the important thing. He's not just the printed material. He is the steel engraving of God because He is the exact copy. He is the image of God. Paul says in Colossians 2:9, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How wonderful He is. And then we're told a fourth thing here. Will you notice what is said here concerning Him, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Now, I like to put it like this. That little baby lying helpless on the bosom of Mary, yonder in Bethlehem, could have spoken this universe out of existence. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Now, He not only created all things by His word, but He holds everything together today. And have you ever stopped to think about the power that's required to hold it together? Man has learned very little about it, but he has learned a little. Man took the atom, for instance, a little bitty fella, and he untied it. And when he untied that little atom and split the atom, as they say, may I say to you, he sure did release a lot of power. Well, who put all that power in there? And who holds all the little atoms together? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He furnishes the program, the purpose. He is the person of God, and He's the preserver of all things. He not only created the universe by His word, but He holds everything together. And if He let go today, well, to begin with, you and I are held on this world that we live in. We don't live in it. We live on the thing. And if He didn't hold us here by Elmer's glue, they call it gravitation, but we'd go flying out in space. He holds everything together. And this universe would come unglued without His constant supervision and power. Now, He's not just an atlas holding up the earth passively, and He's not like the little Dutch boy with his finger in the dike. He today is actively engaged in maintaining all of creation. And in my book, friends, that's greater than creating it at the very beginning, is holding it together, keeping the thing functioning, keeping it running. And that is one of the tremendous things that He is doing today. Now, will you notice there's a fifth thing here, and that is a wonderful thing. When He had by Himself purged our sins. Now, that's pardon for our sins. And he purged our sins. And by the way, this is the only purgatory that's mentioned in the Bible. He went through it for you and me. And there's no purgatory for anyone that trusts Christ because he purged our sins. He has paid the penalty. How wonderful it is. Now, up to this point, we only got to Bethlehem. Now we've come to Calvary. And he today offers pardon for our sins. And the purging was accomplished by what he did on Calvary for you and me. And today, we're accepted in the Beloved. And you can't add to anything that he's done for us. The number six tremendous statement, provision for the present, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, actually, this is the message of Hebrews. And there are two or three things that I must say as we pass on, because we will be coming back to this. First of all, let me say that he received a glory and a majesty when he went back to the Father's throne that he never had before. In other words, there is something in heaven today that was not there 2,500 years ago or in eternity past. And that is the man in the glory with nail-pierced hands and the prints on his feet and the spear wound in his side. And I think even in a glorified body, they are there, and we shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. We're going to see him someday. But at this very moment, he is there. And he was not there like that. He was God 2,500 years ago. But today, he is the God-man. And when it says he sat down, it doesn't mean he's tired or he's resting or that he's doing nothing. He's not twiddling his thumbs. It means that when he finished our redemption, that he sat down because it was complete. And that's exactly what the seventh day meant in creation. God, it says, rested on the seventh day. Why? Was he tired? No, John Wesley said he created the universe and didn't even half try. God wasn't tired. It was complete. There was nothing that he needed to do. I have never, since I've been a pastor, been able to close my desk and go home and say, everything has been done. There's always something incomplete. And you ought to see my desk right now. It's filled with a lot of these wonderful letters I'd like to read to you, and I ought to answer them, but I can't answer them, friends. There are too much other things to be done. I have to make these tapes. I've got to get this five-year program out, and I love it. This is the part of my ministry I rejoice in, but nothing's complete. But he sat down because redemption's complete. And friends, you can't lift your little finger today to add to the redemption he wrought for you on the cross. He has already completed your redemption, and we are complete in Christ. Let me finish what we said a while ago in Colossians. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, Colossians 2:10, and you are complete in him. You are made full in him, and we're accepted in the Beloved. Now, that is the meaning of that he sat down. But there's another aspect, and this is the aspect that I think the writer who said, there's a man in the glory, but the church has lost sight of him. And I think that what he had in mind is the present ministry of Christ. Now, he today has a ministry, and that ministry can be expressed like this. He died down here to save us. He lives up there to keep us saved. He has a ministry today, a ministry of intercession, a ministry of shepherding, a ministry of discipling his church. And he is still at God's right hand, still interested in the church, and he's available for you today. What do you need, friend? Do you need mercy? Do you need help? Do you need wisdom? What do you need? Well, why don't you go to him? Tell him what your problem is. Have you done that? Have you laid out your problem before Him? Have you asked Him to intervene in your behalf and to work it out according to His will? And by the way, He will work it out according to His will, not yours. Prayer is not to persuade God to do something that He didn't intend to do. Prayer is for you and me to get in line with the program of God. And therefore, He's there today. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what the Hebrews is going to tell us. The present ministry of Christ, and that makes this pretty real. Buddha can't help you today. Muhammad can't help you today. And none of these modern founders of religion can help you. I'm rather amused, not amused exactly, but I have a friend of mine that told me how he was healed by a faith healer that was formerly here in Southern California. But she's dead now, and I said, is she able to help you now? Well, he said, of course not, she's dead. Well, I said, Jesus is alive. Our great high priest is alive today, and that's quite wonderful. I heard at the Garden Tomb a rather thrilling thing, and yet I doubt the effectiveness of it. A group of young people went to Moscow, and on Easter Sunday morning, they unfurled a banner at Lenin's tomb. And the banner read, Lenin is dead, Jesus is alive. And then they sang some of the resurrection songs there. And they were not arrested. I have a notion the Russians smiled at that, and I don't know that that would win any of the loss to Christ. But I would say for youth, it was certainly a brave effort. And I don't know, I feel like that it had a message. And that is the message of Hebrews. Lenin is dead, and Jesus is alive. And He's the one today that can help us. He's the one we can turn to. Now, that's going to be the message of this book, and that's the reason that we're dwelling upon this. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, and He took back there a glory that even God did not have. And that was the body in which He had wrought out your redemption and mine upon this earth. He gave Himself. He shed His precious blood that you and I might have life.